Welcome back to Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Great to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Willie Donick and former Titan wide receiver Derek Mason here with you. And as we promised you earlier, we're going to catch up with Alex Carrier, Predators defenseman, who has re-upped with Nashville on a new deal to stay with the team. It was such an exciting July 1st. It was the day D-Mace came back from his long vacation in Europe, and then boom, you had this huge frenzy of free agency opening up with the Predators signing Steven Stamkos and Brady Shea and Jonathan Marchessault. And it was not as much of a headline, but on the same day, they announced that they had re-upped with Alex. So we're really excited that he's still in the fold. Alex is on the line with us here. Alex, first of all, congratulations on your new deal, and thanks for spending a few minutes with us today.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
So, Alex, first, what was it like when the floodgates opened on July 1st and you found out, hey, not only are you back, but you guys have got some reinforcements here. You guys went shopping here and added some really big names to the team. What was that like to experience?
Yeah, that was a crazy day. Obviously, we knew we were going to have some guys, but I never expected to add so many quality guys like that. Just talking with the guys too on the team, with Philip, Roman, Jeremy, Saros as well. All the guys were super excited, and it's fun. You know, you want to compete, you want to have a great team, and I'm excited for next year for sure.
So when did you know that you were coming back? Obviously, it wasn't announced until the day of free agency, but everybody was kind of wondering each day where your head was, and because you could have tested the market for sure. So when did you know you wanted to come back and stay with Nashville?
I knew I wanted to stay for a long time. We had discussion during the season. It didn't work out, and then we didn't make it to July. In Nashville, I know I'm happy here. I love the direction we're going. I love the coaching staff, the players. So I really wanted to come back. So we didn't make it to July 1st. We signed just a few days earlier. So I think it was a Saturday or something like that.
So you had it put to bed so you could sort of enjoy just sitting back and watching who Barry Trotz and the team was going to bring in. So that had to be a hilarious text line going back and forth amongst the players saying, oh my gosh, we got Stamkos. Oh my gosh, we got Marchessault. Like, that had to be a frenzy.
Yeah, we had some good reaction for sure. But yeah, like you said, it was fun to sign before free agency. It was my first time becoming a free agent, so I didn't know exactly what to expect. But it was a very stressful situation, not knowing where you were going to go, where I was going to go and stuff. So I'm glad we did it before July 1st, because it was better to watch than being part of it almost.
Well, that's something that D-Mace and I talked about, that anybody that has the decision you had has probably got to weigh, right? You might have been able to make more money had you hit the free agent market, but you had the uncertainty of going on and not knowing exactly where you fit, even if you get a raise, basically. Whereas I'm sure sitting on the table, you had a deal to stay, knowing who your partner is going to be, knowing who the coach is going to be, and where you fit in the system. So what was that process like for you?
Yeah, that was a major thing for me. Obviously, like you said, I know what to expect. I know my role. I know my D partner, probably. So there was a lot, like, comfort-wise that I knew was going to be the same, but also it was more about happiness at the same time. Like, you could sign somewhere else, maybe make more money for more years, but at the end of the day, if you sign somewhere you don't want to go for more money, then it's not the same for me. For me, it was really to be happy and to be able to get to my full potential, and I know I can do that with the Preds, so I was really happy to be back.
We'll talk with Alex Carrier, Nashville Predators defenseman. Now, how was it for you, Alex, during the season? Because you said you guys couldn't get a deal done, worked out before the season, so you kind of put it to bed. But even though it's been put to bed, that's still something that athletes tend to think about throughout the season, because you can't get away from it. You know, eventually you're going to have to confront, you know, the whole contract situation. But how did you sort of put that behind you and still concentrate on the task at hand?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Especially the trade deadline week was probably the hardest mentally for me. I think throughout my whole career, just the fact that you're seeing your name on rumors, you try to shut it down, but like you said, as athletes, it's impossible to do so. So for me, it was I work with a mental coach. We work about the hockey aspect, but also the off-ice aspect, obviously, and that made a huge part in my mental side of it, just to really be in the present and really enjoy if it was my last week maybe or not, you know. So it was really to be in the present and to enjoy it. Meditation and all that helped a lot for me.
Now, when did it come to a point for the team in general? Because you guys started off a little rough, and you know, there's a bunch of panic around here in Predator world amongst the fans. But there was a point within the season where it just seemed like everything turned. Listen, I can go back to the Vegas thing, but I'm not going to do that because I wasn't in that locker room. But when did it turn for you guys? Maybe it turned even before the Vegas thing, as far from a mental thing, or it was some games after the Vegas whole trip that you guys finally realized and started picking up, you know, on what coach was, you know, trying to teach and what he wanted to convey to y'all.
Yeah, I think it started before the Vegas trip. Obviously, after Vegas, we went on that run. But earlier before that, the week before, we knew we were starting to get better. We were starting to be on the same page. We could see as a team that we were doing better. Like you said, the coach was teaching us things that we were finally getting. You know, you got six guys on the ice every time, so you need the six guys to be on the same page. And it took a little bit, but we could see the progress of it. And then just that trip that got canceled, I think it was more about the slap in the face, and we're like, okay, we got really great player in this room. We know we're getting better. You know, let's show the whole league that we're that type of team. So it was a lot of leadership in our room that stepped up, and you know, just guys that are proud about their pride. You know, they're proud about the team, the city, and we wanted to make an impact, and we did.
Now, what was once the season was done, and y'all fought a hard fought battle that first round of Vancouver, ultimately losing, but that was such a competitive series that it could have went either way. What was the mentality, or what was sort of the ending thought of that team once everything was over, once y'all came back here to Nashville and y'all had y'all meetings? What was sort of the thought of the team moving forward?
Yeah, obviously it was a huge disappointment. Mm-hmm. We thought we had a better team, and we thought we deserved better. Obviously they worked hard too, and it went their way. But I think the whole thing after was, how do we get better from there? You know, it's a good thing to make the playoffs. I don't think a lot of teams saw us there. But at the same time, when you don't win a series, then it doesn't matter. So for us, it was really to like find a way out to get better. So every guy got a plan. If I speak for myself, I got a plan the off season that I work on, and just to be as much ready as I can for next year and to have a bigger impact on the team.
Now, in professional sports, Alex, we talk a lot about transparency, being upfront, being honest. Since Barry has taken over as GM, that's just what he has been, honest, upfront. He's not scared to say some of the things that other GMs won't say. How does that resonate with the team?
Yeah, you love that as a player. You'd rather have the right facts than somebody that tells you something that's not true, right? So as a player, I think it comes from his coaching side as well. You know, you tell the players or the fans or whoever not what they want to hear, but what's the facts, and as a player, you really appreciate it.
We're talking to Alex Carrier, who has re-upped with the Predators, a new 3-year contract to keep him in Nashville. Alex, I'm curious the perspective of Jeremy Lauzon throughout the process, because I'm thinking now in a couple years you might be on the other side of this trying to get him to stay if it continues to work the way it's working between you guys. It's easy to see the chemistry you guys have on the ice. You guys are obviously very close off the ice. Your inner circles are close. So how did he try to handle it? Was he lobbying you? Hey, anything news today, Alex? Are you staying? What did he, or did he kind of sit back and just let the process play out?
Yeah, that's funny because, like you said, we're really close. So we were on the phone. We were on the phone texting, calling each other a lot. He understood the business part of it. He knew I was going to do what's best for me. But at the same time, he really wanted me to stay, and so did I. So it was actually his bachelor trip party. He's getting married this summer as well. So when I signed, it was his bachelor trip, and I didn't make it there because I was like, man, I can't go there during negotiation and stuff. You know, I got to have my mind right and stuff. So I didn't make it there. I was disappointed, but I think it was the best news I could give it to him.
Okay, so it has to come back around. There might have to be an extra event to celebrate all this
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
Since you missed the last one.
We'll find a way.
Well, another thing that I think is always fun is when somebody's drafted by a franchise and you took a longer path. It's not like you were handed anything. You had to spend a lot of time in Milwaukee for extra season. You had to fight your way up the ladder to get to this point. It's got to be pretty satisfying to you to go through that whole process and know that you're going to be taken care of for the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of hard work, but I think that's my personality as well. You know, just growing up, I was always smaller, on the smaller side, you know, under 6 foot in the NHL. People are like, oh, he's not fast enough, he's not big enough, he's not strong enough. And I think it kind of made it better at the same time because I really worked for it, and I'm glad it did. I'm glad for my family as well. But everything together, it was great to re-sign. But like I said, I think it's part of my DNA to just trying to get better every year. And I'm glad it's a 3-year deal, so I don't get comfortable. You know, I still want to improve and sign another one after that. So it's really exciting.
Now, one of the things that I thought about was when you were coming up and starting to make your mark for the Predators, it was during the season that you guys were in the same division as the Lightning. And so I'm thinking you probably had some assignments against Steven Stamkos a few times that season. Just maybe tell our fans what it's like to try to defend a guy who shoots the way he does. Like, he's just such an accomplished guy, 555 goals in his career. But a unique player like that, what was it like to defend him, and how excited are you to have him on your side?
Yeah, super excited. Obviously, he's going to be a Hall of Famer one day, you know, so it's always special to have a player like this in our room and a leader like this as well. Playing against him, it's you always got to have an eye on him in the when you're in the D zone, because a shooter like that can score from anywhere. So you give him half a second, it's off his stick, and it's in the back of the net, you know, so you always got to be careful with him around. So I'm glad I'm not playing against him anymore, for sure.
What about Marcius, though? How does he get it done out there? Like, for maybe people that haven't focused on him, he's obviously a great player that's done a lot in his career. What type of player is he?
Yeah, another French-Canadian on the squad. So
I thought you might give him a shout-out for that. I thought you might shout him out for that.
Yeah, I think Marchesso is just a smart player. He's a gamer as well, competitive, you know, a really smart player. He can make plays, a good stick, good shooter as well. I think he's overall a great player. But you can see a few years back when they won the Cup with Vegas, you got the MVP that playoff run. So I think that tells you how much of a gamer he is, and you always want guys like this on your team.
All right, I got to ask this, Alex, because it's like the running joke, right? You look a little bit like UC Saros. You guys have been mistaken for one another before. You both signed new deals. Now, have you been congratulated by anybody who thinks that you're juice, or vice versa?
Yeah, that's funny, because when he signed his deal, I texted him, the Twins are back. I didn't get no text from anybody that thought was juice. It's really in person that we get confused a lot when we wear the same hat and stuff. So we got the same haircut from behind. We look alike a lot, but no, I didn't get that though.
Okay, so we're going to put this to test at Brent Peterson's Golf Classic. When you guys come in with the hats on, we'll see if anybody gets you guys mixed up.
Absolutely. Let's try it.
It's usually a pretty good bet. That's for sure. Alex, congratulations. I know this has been awesome for a lot of the fans here to be able to know that you're coming back, and I know you're happy for what the future holds and really excited about the up-and-coming season. I'm sure you guys really have great expectations now of what you guys could do. It's exciting.
Yeah, super exciting. I think the motivation went through the roof after July 1st just because you want to get ready for camp. You want to be on top of your game, and yeah, it's super exciting. Obviously, expectations are going to be different than they were last year, but as a player, as an athlete, you embrace those because you want to get better, you want to perform, and yeah, exactly. You want to be on top of your game for the big moment.
Yeah, it's going to be good stuff. So can't wait to see you back in Nashville in a couple months. Enjoy your time off, Alex, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining with us. That's Alex Carrier, Predators defenseman, 3-year deal to stay in Nashville. Great talker. Just a fun guy to be around. He's a guy that energizes locker rooms. Like he said, he's not the biggest guy, but he's able to defend very well against bigger players despite not being the biggest guy himself. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think he meshes well with Lazan, who does have a little more size and physicality. So the two of them together seem to fit very well.
Yeah, it's not the size of the dog, is it?
That's right.
It's not the size of the dog. And Alex Carrier's situation, it rings true because I don't think he plays his size. I think he plays bigger than what he actually is. But it was interesting to hear him talk about, because I think a lot of times, especially when you're entering into that contract year, that season can welcome a lot of distractions.
Yeah, and he said he was pretty open when you asked him about that. I was interested to hear that. He said he actually talked to a lot of sports psychology people to try to, get through that, deal with that.
Yeah, because you can almost play yourself out of what is meant for you because you're worried about things not happening in your time or the way you think they should happen. He could have easily, because the contract didn't get done prior to the season, he could have easily just went to a shell. Especially, he talked about it, the trade deadline. Now you're extra anxious. You're worried because your name is floating around being traded to other teams. So not only are you thinking about that, you're thinking about your job. Like, I got to go play, So all of that goes into an individual's mind when you're entering the last year of your contract and you were not able to get a deal done before that season began. And it was just interesting to hear him talk about, hey, listen, I had to sit down with, a therapist, and we had to really sort of talk through some things, whether it be off ice or on ice, because I know how frustrating or how anxious you can become. You have a bad game. After the game, you're thinking about it, like, dang it, man, are they going to resign me? What's going on here? I need to play better. So you might try to, you're reaching the next game, or you're trying to do something that is sort of outside of your ability to do, and you end up messing up everything else. So it was good to hear him sort of go through that answer of what I did this season when I knew the contract was sort of looming over me.
Yeah, and he's not going to be, as we talked about at the top, he won't be the overpaid guy in a new place that maybe brings on a new challenge of mental toughness. Now, I think you can sort of put all that. He knows where he fits, and he knows he's on a team that's got a lot of layers and ways to win. Speaking of that, when we come back, we'll look at where things stand now. The Athletic did an interesting piece where they asked all of the writers that cover the teams, the 32 teams, what is the biggest hole right now in the post-free agency. There's still some guys out there. For example, Kevin Lankinen hasn't signed with anybody yet. I'm surprised at that. So there's still some free agents out there. There will be some bargain shopping going on. But as it stands now, what is the biggest question mark with the Predators roster? Joe Rexroad took his swing at it in The Athletic. We'll talk about that, and we'll see if we agree. What else do we add? What's the biggest question mark for the Predators as they head into the season next year? We'll tackle that next here on 102.5 The Game.